Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass.
Driven with SunPass.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health and Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
We're inside the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli out tonight, but he will join us from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, where he will be inducted into the Cotton Bowl Hall of Fame tomorrow at a luncheon at AT&T Stadium. We'll hear from Tony coming up. We'll discuss the players back in the building. The offseason program is underway. Phase one, strength and conditioning. A couple of weeks out before individual drills can begin. About a month away from OTAs and big trades in the National Football League.
Big trades.
And, hey, a cornerback is on the market you might have heard of.
We'll get
to all that coming up tonight. What's up, man? How we doing?
I'm doing great. Jeffrey? You know, I'm excited for the draft. I am actually
we're a week out.
Excited that the Cleveland Browns got something right. You know, I've been very critical of the Cleveland Browns for some of the moves that they have made.
I heard about that.
And Sashi Brown, I think, got this right by trading down some spots and picking up the extra picks that they did. Still could possibly get a quarterback where they are.
That's tough to turn down a quarterback.
Or like later in the draft, you know, stockpiling picks is always good, but you still got to make smart choices with those stockpiled picks. And to be honest with you, I watched Carson Wentz and Jared Goff this week on film. Mm-hmm. I don't think either one of them is better than Blake Bortles coming out of college or Teddy Bridgewater coming out of college.
Okay. All right. Well, you got to go with the guys who are there that year, right? If you really need a quarterback.
Well, I mean, it's the name of the game.
The
you got to have a quarterback, and I'm not saying that these guys are going to be bust, but if I had to pick one or the other, I'd take Jared Goff before I'd take Carson Wentz. I think the small school thing is a little bit of an issue. I think Jared Goff has more experience. The passes that he has had are great in number. He's got a really nice bit of accuracy. He's got a beautiful long ball. And in the NFL, if you've got a beautiful long ball, you've got a chance, you know. And so it's going to be fun to watch and see how it plays out. You know, the rumors now is that the Rams are going to take Goff and that the Browns, or not the Browns now, the Eagles will take Wentz. And I don't know if it were a great quarterback draft that either one of those two would go 1-2.
It'll be interesting to see what happens a week from tonight. We'll break down the trade coming up. Okay, players are back in. The other day we heard from a handful of guys in press conferences. It's always a fun time of year. Everybody's back in the building. A lot of guys have been here in the offseason anyway, but they're officially voluntary now, the offseason program. 2 weeks of strength and conditioning. It starts with basically figuring out where guys are physically.
Well, and they better be in a good place.
That's
I
right.
mean, you've had, what, 3.5 months, essentially, after taking maybe a little bit of a break to get your body in shape. You know, it's amazing how much more condensed the window has become for the off-season activities. I mean, a lot of them started early March, end of March, and now it's everything's moved back because everybody's jamming everything in together basically around the draft and after the draft. You know, so the players ought to be in great shape. If anybody's come back and they've been eating hot dogs and pizza and Cheetos on the couch like JP, you're way behind.
I'm not a big Cheetos fan. I'll take the rest, though. That's for sure.
I hear you.
Well, we heard from some of these guys. Of course, a lot of folks are concerned about Blake Bortles' knowledge of this offense for offensive coordinator Greg Olsen, and that's what Blake's been spending this offseason doing, getting back and deeper into this offense, and he feels like he's in a pretty good place.
This time last year, it would have been like me trying to speak Spanish right now. I don't know if I'd say fluent, but I'd say we can have conversations about anything. Every now and then, there's a couple words I probably don't understand. But, no, it's good. And I think we'll continue to work on it. And, you know, my goal would be to know the offense better than anybody in the building. And, you know, that's including him. So that's obviously the long-term goal.
Blake Bortles earlier this week. It starts with him and another full off season in this offense. That's a good start.
Well, it's a great start. And if Blake Bortles did a fraction of the commitment that he had in last year's offseason, because when he came back, he looked like a different player. It wasn't even close. I mean, it was the motion was better. The spiral was tighter. I use this term many times in Blake's first year playing that, you know, the routine stuff didn't look routine. And last year when he came back for OTAs, the routine looked routine. So a massive improvement last year. And you can't expect that type of improvement from years, you know, that type of astronomical jump from year one to year two, and the same thing from year two to year three. It's just not viable. But to see a percentage of that jump, you know, 50%, 40%, 30%, whatever you're seeing, I guarantee you that he committed himself to doing everything possible. That's just the nature of the type of player he is. And I think that's the most important thing for the future of this franchise. When you have the quarterback who is leading the work ethic, that's where you want to be.
He's got to throw the ball to somebody, and A-Rob was a Pro Bowl type last year, of course, one of the guys he's throwing to. He was back at the podium earlier this week talking about, hey, where does this team need to improve?
For me, you know, I think the big thing looking back last year was just my efficiency, you know, for my even though I got a lot of deep balls, you know, for my catch-to-target ratio. You know, I think that's something that I want to come and get to be a little bit more efficient. You know, when you look at guys like Antonio Brown and the top guys in the game, you know, they have a pretty efficient rate. You know, when you see them having big games, you know, it's 16 catches on 18 targets and things like that, you know. So, I mean, whenever you can do that, you know, you're just consistent and you're just helping the team out more.
Hey, Rob, earlier this week, a huge season last year. It's going to be tough to match the numbers he put up last year, well, year to year, right?
Well, I don't think it's
going to
be.
Especially if they get the run game going.
I think it's
going
to be tough to match the yards per catch and then maybe the touchdowns. But the number of receptions, I don't think it's tough to match. And I love how, you know, you have a quarterback who worked his butt off last year and is working his butt off now to improve. And then you have another young player and Allen Robinson speaking the language of how do I get better? I mean, he's not worrying because, you know, the question was about the team.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he immediately turns the focus on himself, which that's the only thing you can do as a player on the team. And to be able to speak that language and to have an understanding of where he's at and where he wants to be when he talks about efficiency, to me that's very impressive, which means that he understands where he was at, where he wants to be, and what he needs to do to get there. That's extremely positive.
So everybody back in the building for the off-season program. We'll come back in a moment, and we're going to go to Dallas, Texas, and catch up with Cotton Bowl Hall of Famer Tony Boselli. SunPass is a proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Use it to reach your goal, whether that's the Gulf Coast, the Atlantic Coast, the Florida Keys, or even Georgia and North Carolina. SunPass, catch one today. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
As mismatches go, there have been few in the storied history of the Cotton Bowl more glaring than in the 1995 Classic, a game that proved the age-old premise that in football, it all starts up front. Making their first appearance ever, the USC Trojans were led by three-time All-America offensive tackle Tony Boselli, who, like his team, dominated Texas Tech from the opening kickoff. With the 6'8" Boselli paving the way on runs and putting up a wall for his quarterback to throw, the Trojans racked up 578 yards of offense, averaging more than 7 yards every time they snapped the ball. In the final game of his college career, Tony Boselli solidified his future as a first-round NFL draft pick.
Finally, all the talk is over.
Jaguars Thursday continues. The comments from the Cotton Bowl committee, where Tony Boselli played his final collegiate game in 1995. USC led Texas Tech 28-0 at the end of the first quarter in the game, 34-0 at halftime. They won 55-14. And now Tony Boselli joins us on the line from Dallas. What's up, Tony?
That was well played there, the little bit. I like that, Joe. Well played.
Joe Fortunato, digging in the treasure chest. What's up, man? You're are you excited for tomorrow, or what's up?
Yeah, it's free. It's cool. There's a dinner tonight that we're going to here in about an hour, and then the ceremony's tomorrow, the And it's great, first class. And, man, they give you, I don't know what to expect, but the Cotton Bowl must be doing well because they take care of whoever they put in the Hall of Fame. Very nice accommodations and nice gifts and everything else, so it'll be fun. It'll
free
be a good
free
time.
Stuff is always good.
Free is, you know, I've never turned down anything free.
Tony, what do you remember about the game itself?
You know, it was, one, it's not just a game, the week up was a great time. It was, I'd been to, you know, we'd been to four different bowl games, or went to bowls 4 years in a row, or four different years, over the years, 4 years. And the Cotton Bowl was unreal. The, you know, the activities, what you did, and I think one of the best things, well, it was fun because we practiced in old Cowboy Stadium. That's where our team practiced, and so that was cool. It was, you know, as a college player doing that. And then I played for John Robinson, and he's head coach, and he made bowls a lot of fun. It was pretty relaxed, and so it was a good time. And then the game itself, Texas Tech had a bunch of good players. You know, Zach Thomas was on that team, middle linebacker who played a long time in Miami. I'm trying to think. They had a really good safety player for the Jets for a long time. They had a number of players, were NFL players, and we just, from the first snap, just kicked their rear ends. And so it was good. Keshawn Johnson had about 5,000 yards receiving that game. And so it was.
And he's already in the Hall of Fame.
Is he already?
He's already in the Cotton Bowl Hall of Fame.
That's, oh, I thought you were.
He is.
Yeah, he is.
He made it last year, so he's already there. So it was good. Played the old, you know, now they play it in the Jerry Stadium, the AT&T, big, you know, big Cowboy Stadium.
Here's the crazy thing, Tony. When you went to the Cotton Bowl back then, you probably remember walking into Cowboy Stadium or Texas Stadium at that time, going, "Wow, this place is a monstrosity." Now, you walk into AT&T Stadium and you go, "Oh my God, that old Cowboy Stadium wasn't really nice. It was just kind of a dump."
Yeah, Jeff, you're right. Old Cowboy Stadium is a dump compared to, you know, the AT&T Stadium where the Cowboys play now. So, and that's where all the it's funny, all the functions and everything are at AT&T Stadium. Dinner, the ceremony, and everything else. So, I'll be over there. It was a great time. It was fun. I only played a little over a half because we were killing them so bad. So I'll be honest with you, I never thought. I didn't really think about the Cotton Bowl Hall of Fame because we played so well, we didn't play a lot, so it's a nice honor though.
Wait a minute, you played a half and you're in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, it was. Must have been a pretty dang good half, JP.
Apparently it was. Tony Baselli.
Well, see, they're making up for it in this class because Tony is going in with Fred Akers, who is the head coach at Texas.
That's right. Eric Dickerson.
Yeah, in which Fred Akers coached in three of them. Yeah. Tony in one, Eric Dickerson played in one game. Bob Golic, brother of Mike Golic, played in three different Cotton Bowls. And then Fred Marshall played in one, and also Dan Petty, who is
on the bowl committee.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's who all Tony is going in with in this class.
Nice.
Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, it's cool. So obviously Bob Golic didn't do nearly as what Eric Dickerson and I did. It only took me a half a game. Eric Dickerson maybe played a full game. It took Bob Golic three games.
I mean, what in the world's going on?
That half was extremely dominant.
That's what you get for a Notre Dame guy.
That's very true. Tony, what do you think of the Josh Norman situation? And would you make a run?
I would make a run. I think it's very interesting. I'd make a run, but I'd probably be a little cautious only because, and I don't know the Carolina Panthers cap situation, but here's a team coming off a chance to win a Super Bowl. They went to it last year with one of the better defenses. Josh Norman was one of your best players on defense, and they can't figure out how to get a deal done. Now, maybe they have this terrible cap situation, but the cap went up so much, I don't think that's the case. And I've read some reports that, you know, maybe Josh Norman's not the best locker room guy, or there might be. Maybe that's just rumors or whispers, but they let him go for some reason. And the public stance was they couldn't get a
volunteer deal done. Well, if you're the Panthers, who cares? Keep him for the franchise 1 year. I mean, try to make another run. So that would make me a little bit curious why they let him go. With that said, the film, he's outstanding. He's more of a zone corner than a man corner, but he can do both. And you have plenty of cap room. You're trying to take a big step. He certainly would do that and solidify that, you know, defense even at another level. So I'd at least kick the tires.
Ian Rappaport reporting just a few minutes ago that the 49ers and the Redskins have emerged as the front runners for Norman.
And somebody else had linked the Dolphins to him. The Dolphins can't afford to do that. I'm sitting there going, why is anybody even thinking the Dolphins would even be a player in that? I mean, they had to redo the contract of Ndamukong Suh just to be able to do what they've done. Crazy.
Jeff, why did the Carolina let him go, you think?
Well, I, off the cuff, I think, you know, Josh Norman made the comment that he thinks he's one of the top five best corners ever. If you've got that
stretch.
Yeah, I think he made some commentary to that effect. And if you make that type of comment, along the lines of what you're talking about, you know, question about is he a locker room question mark? You know, when you're trying to build something the right way, you've already thrown a lot of money around. Do you want to even maybe have a little inkling of that in your locker room? I don't think so. But he is a fantastic player. He is great ball skills, makes great plays on the ball, arguably the best corner in the National Football League last year. You can make that case, you know, for the number of plays that he made. But, you know, his age, Tony, is also a concern, and the Carolina Panthers have a couple defensive tackles that are going to be coming up for contracts pretty soon, you know. So, you know, if you're Gettleman, the general manager of the Carolina Panthers, you have to weigh all that into consideration.
Well, the one thing is, you know, I don't think money's an issue if you're the Jaguars. I mean, I think they have between $40 and $50 million of cap space still left, or something, some enormous number that is still left. So, I mean, you have plenty of cap room. You have plenty of money in the future, the way the cap's moving, to take a stab and take a run at him if you think. He makes you that much better.
You know, and Tony, let me jump in right there, because, you know, you're the reason that you have that cap room is that your first draft class, you're not looking at extending them at big deals right now. And
that's
Luke
right.
Jokel and Jonathan Cypre. Now, I'm sure part of the plan was that this would be the year that you start to wrap those guys up with long-term deals, but their play hasn't really proven to say we need to reward those guys with a contract to ensure that we don't lose them. And so, for that reason, I think you do have the room.
Yeah, you have plenty. I'm with you 100%, Jeff. So, I'm a little bit – I am surprised that – I mean, at least nowhere I've read that, you know, Jacksonville name comes up as somewhere – as one of the places that are going after him. So, either Dave's doing it very quietly or he's just not interested.
Yeah, and maybe not interested. I mean, it's
at this point,
it's a lot of money, and in reality, Josh Norman should have signed the tender, the franchise tag. He should have signed it.
Oh gosh, protect yourself. Get the 1 year, $15 million, whatever.
Guaranteed money.
Give me a break.
You know, and then go to free agency next year.
Just what he'll what will he get now? 10?
Well, he's going to get more guaranteed money from someone than the guaranteed franchise tag. So, I mean, you could make the case that, well, you know, it was better for him to be a free agent. But, boy, the timing of it is not very good.
No.
At all.
This kind of thing really.
What about guys tonight? Because I'm only staying at note to the bottom of the hour here. What were your guys' thoughts on the Eagles trading up to number 2? I mean, now, obviously, it actually cleans up the draft a little bit for us up at the top. I mean, you know that 1-2 or 2 quarterbacks, meaning that either Bosa, Jack, or Ramsey, one of those guys, Buckner, I mean, they're going to be on the board when you pick possibly even Tunsil.
And it also could set up a trade for the number 3 pick, right? If somebody wants to get right up ahead of 4 and 5 there, right? That's possible.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know who else they're trading up for. I mean, I don't think any other quarterback you know, I don't even think – I can't see anyone trading up to get Tunsil.
Ramsey, maybe?
Tackle that bad.
Is Ramsey that good?
I don't think so.
I don't – yeah. I mean,
he's very good.
Not with Miles Jack.
Saying I have to have Jim Ramsey.
Now, after we'll say this, Tony, that this week I watched Carson Wentz and Jared Goff both on film. And after watching them, I don't think that either one of them looked better on college film than Blake Bortles or Teddy Bridgewater, for that matter. I think they're probably in that category. Jared Goff is in that category. I think Jared Goff looks to be a better player than Carson Wentz, but you know,
listen, if Jared Goff or Carson Wentz can become the player that Blake Bortles is in his second year, if they can have, if the Rams or the Eagles can say, we'll take what Blake Bortles was year two right now, they will be very fortunate. Because I don't, I haven't studied the quarterback because we're not picking one, and it hasn't been as big an interest to us, me this year. But, you know, I say that because I'm a little bit surprised you saw people. I mean, it just tells you how important the quarterback is to see it, two teams ransom the future, put it all out there to try to get up to get one of those two guys.
Tony Boselli with us from Dallas-Fort Worth, getting ready for the Cotton Bowl Hall of Fame induction tomorrow. What do they give you for that? Do they give you like a bust or a plaque or a, what do you get for the?
I get a. I was reading up.
Pair of boots.
I got a bunch of stuff already. I got this, you know, Tiffany crystal deal, and I got my wife. They gave me my wife got a Tiffany bracelet. It's out of control. I got a bunch of gifts, and then they give you like a bronze statue.
Do you get the key? So you get it. Where are you going to put it, in the front yard?
No, I'm going to put it in the studio.
Right by the softball trophies. Nice. That'll look great. Tony, congratulations on another one. And
get a little fountain around it and everything, you know?
It's not, first of all, it's not a bronze statue of me. It's a general football player.
Come on now. It should be a you.
That sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get to make the Pro Football Fame to get that, JP. They don't take that with you.
In time. Tony, enjoy the trip to Dallas, and we'll talk to you next week for the draft.
You can't wait. Big week coming up. Looking forward to it.
There he is, Tony Boselli, College Football Hall of Famer, now Cotton Bowl Hall of Famer, joining us from Dallas.
I got to see if I'm eligible for the All-American Bowl Hall of Fame.
You might be.
I think that's not even in existence anymore.
I don't think it is either.
The only bowl game I ever played in.
This portion of Jaguars Thursday brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here.
By the way, I played in the full game at the All-American Bowl.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you're a shoo-in.
I did.
This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
I would say so, and we had talked about this, that we've been fortunate, we feel like, because, you know, in a lot of situations in the NFL, a lot of organizations could have said, oh, all right, 3 years, you didn't get the job done, time to blow it up and start all over. We're very fortunate that that's not the case here, and that we have in an organization where we're building things slowly, properly, so that we'll have success for years to come. But now it's time to see some results. You know, we feel like as players, we need to play to a higher level, play to the standards that we want and the standards that everybody wants, and see some results on Sunday.
Jags linebacker Paul Posluszny entering his 10th NFL season. SunPass is a proud partner of the Jags. Use it to reach your goal, whether that's the Gulf Coast, the Atlantic Coast, the Florida Keys, or even Georgia and North Carolina. SunPass, catch one today. And this portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com.
Hey, you know what? I was just looking up some numbers here. And the Cotton Bowl, where Southern Cal played Texas Tech.
Okay.
And we need to – and Joe, can you pull this up for me?
Yeah.
The offense that game had – 578 total yards.
A big game.
Huge game.
Yeah.
They had 143 yards rushing, and they threw the ball for 435 yards. What was Rob Johnson's numbers in that game?
I'm going to guess probably not a lot.
Well,
right?
Did
he play the whole game, too? He might have
got
pulled off.
I mean, Rob Johnson was quarterback at USC.
Right.
Okay, and in this game, they threw for 435 yards. I want to know what Rob Johnson's numbers were.
All right, we'll have to look that up. We're in the process right now. We are exhausting the 1995 Cotton Bowl, that's for sure.
Yeah. You got it?
Tony Boselli joined us last segment from Dallas, where he's being inducted into the Cotton Bowl Hall of Fame.
Well, Rob Johnson was a, fourth-round pick
of
the Jaguars, and that turned into the Fred Taylor pick. And so that ought to give Rob some points right there for consideration of induction into the Cotton Bowl Hall of Fame.
Next time, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. What do we got? What do we got?
Joe Fortunato.
All right, Rob Johnson, 16 of 21 for 289 yards, 3 TDs. Says he broke 3 records. Don't know what they are. Oh, wait a minute. He passed Rodney Peete to finish with 8,472 yards. Threw his 56th, 57th, and 58th touchdown passes. And his career completion rate, 64.6%, is a Pac-10 record.
So he set some career records.
In that game. But he was pulled early. Yeah. Didn't play the whole game either.
Yeah.
So should Rob be
maybe he's the only
under consideration one left for the Cotton Bowl Hall of Fame?
I guess so. Sounds like it might be. These trades are, last week we talked about the Tennessee trade with the Rams. That changed a lot of things at the top, and now this one, the Browns and the Eagles. Like we just mentioned a moment ago with Tony, do you expect any more? Could there be more?
I don't see it.
No.
Not in the top. I think top five, I think, is going to stay put. I think there will definitely be some movement later in the draft.
Sure, there always is. Yeah.
Which, this year, I wonder what the record is for number of trades in round one of an NFL draft. We'll see if we can garner those numbers.
Joe's a busy researcher tonight.
But this year, it might be a possibility of breaking that record. I mean, because you've already had two at number one and number two. So why not have the same? I mean, and there's never been a trade at the top, I don't think, for the one and number one overall and the number two overall that I can remember.
I read somewhere, I think, today that there have been a couple times. And
has
the,
it?
The one or two times it's happened, the third has been traded as well. So
okay.
Who knows?
Interesting.
This second trade, the Browns, that number two pick goes to the Eagles for 5 draft picks, the number 8 pick this year, 3rd-round pick this year, and a 4th-round pick this year. Also the first-rounder next season and a 2nd-round pick in 2018.
But you got to explain what the Browns are giving up, too. They're giving up the 2nd overall pick in the draft and, I believe, a 4th-rounder.
There you go.
Next year, because compensatory picks are going to be tradable next year. Mm-hmm. We talked earlier about compensatory tricks were tradable. No, they are not this year.
Next year
they are.
Ah, good enough.
So that rule changes next year. But I think it was a good trade for the Browns, a team that needs a lot of players because they let a lot of players walk in free agency.
I think they have, 12 picks now, right?
Yeah, and then they've got a high number in the top, 80 picks of the draft. I mean,
same as the Titans.
Yeah, exactly. So they're sitting pretty. And if you're the Eagles, I mean, you sign Chase Daniels in free agency, who comes over with their head coach from the Kansas City Chiefs, who was a draft pick of the Kansas City Chiefs. You've got Sam Bradford under contract. Mm-hmm. And then there's so now you're looking at adding a rookie second overall pick of the draft. You've got a couple franchises that are out there in the Denver Broncos, the New York Jets, that are still trying to determine what their quarterback situation is going to be. So is Sam Bradford now tradable? Because, Chase Daniels is their Doug Peterson's guy coming from Kansas City, and you're bringing in the 2nd overall pick of the draft, and you just gave Sam Bradford a significant contract. Do you trade that significant contract away?
It certainly sounds like the Broncos Kaepernick trade is kind of dormant, as John Elway said today,
but he said it's still on the table.
It's still out there.
So,
but there's money issues there.
But we'll see how that works out. But I think there's probably going to be a trade with the Eagles, I think, before the draft of one of those two quarterbacks. And if I had to bet, it would be Sam Bradford. Because you're paying him essentially starting money, and he's not the long-term starter. So Sam Bradford could be off to his next adventure.
Hmm. He's had a few.
It's just, the biggest question with Sam Bradford is consistency and durability and availability.
Durability is the thing, man. He's been so banged up.
So big question mark for them.
This will be a fun week. To figure out what's going
to
happen.
I'm looking forward to this draft.
Are you ready for it to be over? Are you ready for
the draft? I like the draft. To me, it's intriguing.
I like the draft, too, but about this time each year, it's like, all right, let's just start picking.
I look forward to it because, a couple reasons. One, I watched the film of some of these, basically the top five at every position. And then after you watch the film, you want to see where your opinion kind of slates these guys in the eventual pecking order of the draft. And then I also look forward to the once the draft for the Jaguars is complete, is going back, and because, you know, you don't have time to watch thousands of players that are draft eligible or however many it is, but going back and watching the film of the Jaguar drafted players and getting to know more details on them. And that will be all the way from you know, their fifth overall pick all the way down to their last pick. I watch all of them. And so I look forward to that. I mean, to me, that's exciting to see what kind of players that this franchise has added, and to compare, you know, my opinion to what Dave Caldwell and his staff's opinion are on some of these guys.
We've got a week to go. And remember, hey, Thursday night, the draft show here at Everbank Field, 5 to 10 p.m. in FanDuelville. You have to register for a free ticket, jaguars.com/draftshow. 1010XL will have coverage as well. And Channel 4 will have a draft program an hour before the draft begins. All that coming up Thursday night, a week from tonight, here at Everbank Field. Get the latest transportation news and information on the award-winning Making Moves TV show. Watch every week on the first Tuesday of the month at 12:30 on Channel 4 and every Thursday after Nightline on ABC 25. We'll look around the National Football League after this. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
Check out the Hanania Automotive Group. They've got 10 brands, hundreds of vehicles to choose from, and thousands in savings. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Buscelli is in Dallas, Texas. Cotton Bowl Hall of Fame induction tomorrow. Jaguars Thursday. Now, by the way, don't miss your opportunity. You'll get to meet wide receiver Allen Robinson. That's this Saturday at the Claire Lane Xfinity Store at 11112 San Jose Boulevard from 1 to 3 p.m. Jacksonville will be there. The Roar of the Jaguars as well. Autographs and great prizes available. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. Let's look around the National Football League. You know, on this program, Jeff, in shows past, we've been relatively critical of J.J. Watt off the field, right? Or at least maybe I have. I think I called him a fraud one time.
Yeah, you get a little carried away with it, yeah, but he's a great player.
Well, J.J. Watt defending his frequent use of the internet, saying that he doesn't plan to change his image publicly and still wants to be out there and on the Twitter guy all the time.
Yeah, he's coming under a little criticism for some of the statements that he's made on social media and criticizing those that are on social media. And my opinion is that, you know, just J.J. probably ought to just keep his mouth closed a little bit when it comes to opinions on social media. Yeah, well. You know, I mean, it's look, if you don't like it, don't use it. If you don't want to hear about it, then don't look at it. Pretty simple.
Yeah, you can always turn it off. Right?
Yeah. I mean, it's what you call freedom. The freedom to choose not to or to do.
It's a great country, isn't it?
It's a great country. J.J. ought to learn a little bit of
he's
that.
He's a great player.
He's a great player. Let's but he's not a fraud. He's a great player.
Yeah. Debatable. Marshawn Lynch joining the Seahawks defensive end Cliff Averill to build a school in Haiti. Lions linebacker Stephen Tulloch and Tampa Bay tackle Gosder Chehalis are also there. And speaking of social media, that popped up yesterday.
Yeah, good for him. Good for him. It, you know, a lot of times that type of stuff is not reported enough. Some of the good things that athletes do, it gets overshadowed by the headlines, which is typically the negative stuff. And good for Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, he's out, right? He's retired.
I guess. I mean, yeah, it's you know, it's kind of a weird deal, you know, because he announces his retirement, I guess, on social media. And did the Seahawks ever put him on the reserve retired list?
That I don't.
Because they had to do that in order to get that off of their cap, and I know there was a delay in them doing that for some period of time, and I haven't received information that they have ever done that yet. And I wonder if they're just holding out hope that he decides that, look, you know, I want to play.
We'll see what happens after the draft. They get a guy, you know.
Who knows?
To fill a spot.
You know, Marshawn's a different guy. And look, I appreciate
you
that.
Think?
Yeah, he's a different guy. Yeah. You know, a lot of people criticize him for his, you know, his lack of you know, the cooperation with the media and all that. I'm like, look, whatever. I like different. Okay with that. The guy's a hell of a football player.
Yeah.
Hell of a football player. Comes to work every game. I love the way he plays the game. Not just the style of runner he is. That's not what I'm talking about. About that he celebrates with teammates. He's kind of the anti-J.J. Watt. You know, but he has probably a worse reputation with a lot of people. And because of the media thing. To me, that's not really warranted.
Colts punter Pat McAfee sent out a tweet yesterday. I don't know if you know this, Jeff, but April 20th is National Weed Day. It's kind of celebrated around a lot of places. Well, it's not a national holiday officially, but it is an unofficial
We better not have that as a national holiday in our country.
No. So he sent out a tweet yesterday saying, quote, "I can't celebrate this particular day, but I know a large percentage of my followers are. So happy Laughter Day to those of you snacking at a hefty rate." A little later, he tweeted again, "I imagine Colorado being a bit foggy today." Well, today, the day after, he got a random drug test notice from the NFL drug testing program's medical advisor.
Yeah, but you know, National Weed Day. I mean, there's no such thing, as far as I know. And maybe some would dispute that, but I think it's the first day in which NFL players can be tested for that random test that they get once a year. And Pat McAfee was kind of having fun with that date because a lot of NFL players are eligible to be tested, which if they test clean that one test a year, then after that point they're free to use again, marijuana in particular, until the following year, as long as they don't have an arrest or anything for probable cause to be able to say, hey, you need to take a leak in this bottle right here. But Pat McAfee was not tested for drugs of abuse, but he was tested for performance-enhancing drugs, PEDs. So not quite the story that it seems to be.
I see. We're a week away from the draft. What's your gut telling you right now, Jeff, about the Jags?
I mean, my gut tells me is what are the Cowboys going to do it for? I mean, I don't know. You know, the Cowboys could very easily draft, you know, Miles Jack. It could be Jalen Ramsey. And so, to me, that's the pick, the one that's worth following is what do they do? You know, so I'm looking forward to it just to see. But I mean, there's always intrigue. And I was just looking, by the way, in 2012, there were 16 picks, I think, in the first round that were traded. That was a record up until that point. And I don't think it's been surpassed since 2012. Mm-hmm. So there could be a significant number of trades in this draft. And ever since that they changed the rookie salary cap system is when, because 2012 was the first time that was changed. Because you remember before that, I mean, Sam Bradford, the contract that he got mm-hmm. was just the guaranteed money was like in the $50 million range, which now the players aren't even reaching
that. For a guy who never took a snap.
Yeah, and then now that's changed. And so since they instituted that change, there have been more trades, I think, on average. And so I would not be surprised if there are a lot of trades once again in this year's draft.
Tomorrow, noon, Everbank Field, media draft luncheon. Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley, the annual sit-down.
The annual learn nothing luncheon.
The smokescreen luncheon.
I don't know about that. No, Dave's never really done any kind of smokescreens. He's very open. He's very honest. But he does not give you any inclination whatsoever of what he is going to do with the draft. But, as far as, like, names, he does give you an idea, I think, of the general course in which he's going to take. And he's been, I think, I don't want to say predictable, because you don't ever want a general manager that's predictable. And I don't think he's predictable. But, I mean, you get a general feel for some of his thoughts on the direction that they're going to go. But there's not names involved, but it's a great press conference. It provides great sound bites for radio shows, for TV sports broadcasts, you know, and you get more of the true feel of it afterwards. You know, when you can after the fact that the draft is over, then you know you, your conversations with Dave and Gus has becomes a little bit more real.
Yeah, hindsight gives you a little more clarity to those.
Yeah. You know, so but I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the luncheon.
Of course you are.
I'm looking forward to looking at some more tape. I got a few more guys that I want to watch, and then over the course of the next number of days, whatever long that is, and and the draft to me is it's great entertainment. I really enjoy the draft. In years past, I used to not really enjoy it because I didn't really, jump into it and watch film, and now I do, and so I kind of get intrigued by it now.
Who's the best?
But I'm not a draft junkie by any stretch.
Right, you're not putting out mock drafts and all this stuff. Of the film you've watched so far, Jeff, who's the best overall player in this draft? Of guys that you've seen already? Or are there guys left out you haven't got to?
No, well, I mean, I've gotten pretty much all the top guys. I haven't looked at safeties, but that, to me, that's not a position that would leapfrog the other premium positions. I kind of follow Mike Mayock's, his draft rankings. To me, the quarterbacks are always there.
It's just a guideline.
Just because it's
a
positional,
watch,
a positional stuff. But, I mean, as far as the best player overall in the draft, I love Laramie Tunsil, the tackle.
Mm-hmm. Ole Miss.
He is a great player. I know he's had some durability issues, but I love him. I love Miles Jack. I love Jalen Ramsey. I wish he had his hands on the ball a little bit more. The defensive tackle from Oregon,
DeForest Buckner. Yeah.
When I first watched him, I just watched a little bit, and I was like, I don't know about it. Then I looked deeper. I love him as a player. I think he can be a three technique. He can be a defensive end. He could be a guy that can line up anywhere and be a very dominant player. Jalen Smith, to me, might be the best talent, period, bar none, if he didn't get hurt.
Yep.
Phenomenal player. Watching this guy play football is an absolute joy, and I hope that he gets back to full strength so that fans of the NFL can see the type of player that he was at Notre Dame. Fantastic player.
We'll find out starting a week from tonight. Well done, Jeff. We'll see you next week. Joe Fortunato, thanks to Tony Baselli, and thanks to you for listening. I'm JP Shadrick. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.